Accession number 31448, Mr. Roy Jones, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about your time at Camelads, I think you said it was, as a messenger boy. Now, you didn't like that. How long did you stick it for?
6 months.
So just into 43?
Yeah.
And why didn't you like it?
It just seemed to me to be a dead-end job, and I thought to myself, well, I can't achieve anything here.
You weren't in any way apprenticed then, were
no,
you?
No. I never even thought about an apprenticeship. I don't know why. I don't know whether my father ever did for me. If he did, he certainly never mentioned it. So, I wasn't happy at Laird's. I didn't like it, so. And I told my father, and he had a friend who managed a grocer's shop, and the name of that shop was Job Thomas in Morton, just a few doors down from the cinema in Morton. So he got me a job there, and I started there. And there again, I started as order boy, taking people's groceries, delivering people's groceries to the houses. Till eventually he decided he wanted me to train as a provision hand in the shop. And a provision hand in them days was you served on the side of the counter where the bacon and cooked meats and all that was sold. So he then showed me how to... The bacon used to come in a side of bacon where you had the leg, the shoulder and the middle. So he said to me, there you are, and he gave me a knife. He said, now that's your knife, that nobody else is yours. And it was a boning knife. And he had another chap in there who taught me how to bone bacon. How to bone and roll the leg, which was ham, and all aspects of the bacon side, boning and rolling and what have you. And then, bear in mind that they were the days when there was rationing, so the butter used to come in the shop in 56-pound blocks in wooden crates, which had to be opened. Then that butter, then we used to have what cutters for the butter, which is just a thin wire with two wooden handles, and you slice through and you weighed it off in 2 ounces, quarters, 6 ounces, and 1/2 pounds. The whole block, different what names. Cheese used to come in them days, big cheeses, and they were wrapped in cloth, and when you're taking the cloth off, the dust and the smell of, you can imagine, and the cheese then had to be cut and cut up into whatever the allowance was. But the butter, we used to have the butter pats, I think they were called, and there were two wooden one, like a wooden patter, one had lines cut in and the other was flat. So you'd pat the butter into squares and then just pat it with the one with the lines in to make it look presentable, you know. And the tea used to come in bulk. And we used to have to roll a piece of paper like an A4 into a funnel and weigh tea out at 2 ounces and fold that and stack it. And of course, a quarter of a pound used to come in quarters. We didn't have to weigh that. Sugar was the same. We had to weigh it in whatever the allowances were then. But I really liked that job. And I was, although I say it myself, after a while I was really quite good at boning bacon and rolling bacon. He was most impressed with Mr. Blanchard. He was the boss. he used to say to me, "I think I'll enter you into a competition for boning." He said, "The way you," it was just the sort of thing that probably I took to, simply because I think I liked it, and that's what I did there. And funnily enough, you know, when you're serving behind the counter in the shop, you get to know an awful lot about people, and it was a nice, satisfying job. That when you got the old dears coming in, and they were really thrilled to bits with the service that they got, and because it was only like a family shop, it wasn't a big, massive store. And the big thing that shook me in all this was when I went behind the counter and had to serve, I thought, hell, I've got to know the price of everything in this shop. And you think to yourself, how the hell am I going to learn the price of every mortal thing that you sell in a grocer's shop? And I got worried about it. But it's another one of those things that all of a sudden you go in one day, click, and it all falls into place. And you remember the price of everything. And yes, I really like that. And
so you were at Camelot's. I think I said the dates wrong with not thinking. You were there 14 to 1940. Sorry, when you were 14.
14.
So that's 1940 to 41.
I was only at Laird's for 6 months.
Yeah, 40 to 40. Yeah, just across the divide. And then from 41 to how long were you at the grocer's?
Till I went in the army.
So till 44.
So it was about three years, was it? Something like that.
Now, tell me about, let's get on to the bombing then, because that's a backdrop. To I don't know when it started, I can't remember.
It wasn't very nice. I can't actually remember the month or the year that it started. I've got a sneaking feeling it was probably very early 41 or something
I think
like
it's
that.
41.
Because I think it was all over by 42, wasn't it? The Battle of Britain, I think, finished when?
Well, just tell us about the bombing as you remember. They can fit it in with what... how did it start? What do you remember of the early raids?
Well, the very early raids that I can remember, I was mostly incendiary bombs, and they never made any noise. Well, you might have heard a shoo and just a bump, but not very loud bangs, because I know I run out with my dad once, because one dropped at the top of the road. But... I think probably about the third or fourth air raid was when they started to really drop the heavy stuff. And I think it's probably one of the only times I've ever been really frightened was the first time that you heard these bombers, and now I know what they were. They had the heavy bombers, but they also had Stukas. I've learnt the name of them from much, much later in my life, but the noise they made, so you knew what was coming, and then all you heard was the screaming of the bomb, and then the bomb dropping, and it wasn't very pleasant. And the only other time that, and that went on for quite some time, and you...
Now, what was it like being in that for you? You'd be in your shelter, mostly, I presume.
Yeah. I don't know, it was sort of like as if you were in a cocoon. In this shelter, you probably felt that nothing could touch you. As children, you wouldn't think that a bomb could destroy the whole thing and everybody in it, and you'd be no more. I think what it was with children, you felt as if you were in a cocoon, so you were safe. God knows what your mother was thinking. Or your father. Mind you, we never saw my father. Once the air raid siren started, my father had to go. So he was never actually with us.
He was off to, was it Weld Street, you said? Or
Weld Lane.
Weld Lane.
Weld Lane police station. If he had been on 2 to 10 and finished at 10 o'clock and came home, if the sirens went at 11 o'clock, he'd have to go back out. And if it was on all night, then so be it.
And what would he be doing? As a policeman, did you know?
I think in them days, because then policemen were armed then, My father had a revolver, and it was just like a Smith & Wesson, the ones like you see cowboys with. It was like that. And I don't know why he had to go out again. I don't know whether it was for fear they needed more policemen on the streets for fear of places being hit for control, or what, or whether they was frightened of parachutists being dropped or things like that. Because I can remember at one time when a plane came down at the bottom of St. Paul's Road on some allotments there then, and my father had to go down there and stand by that German aircraft that was shot down, because I think we had a photograph of him somewhere with all the ammunition off it wrapped around his neck. But I think that sort of thing was simply because there wouldn't be enough policemen actually on duty doing the normal thing if an air raid started. So they all had to go out. So we never had my father at home during an air raid. So my mother relied on me, being the eldest, an awful lot, to make sure that they all got up. And my brother was a sod for getting up, even of a morning. So trying to get him out of bed when the sirens went was terrible. But in the end, we'd get him down anyway. But it seemed to go on.
Now, was there much damage near you, either round Rock Ferry or round, was it Morton you said the shop was?
Yeah, Morton. I don't remember much happening in Morton, but I certainly do in Rock Ferry.
Well, tell us what sort of damage was done.
Because there was one Wednesday, I can always remember, it was a Wednesday night, when Liverpool took an awful hammering, and so did we on this side. And we sat in a shelter this night, and all... I heard the bombers go over, and then next thing all you could hear was like a shh, shh, shh. I said, what the hell is that? And it seemed to go right over our house. Right over. And the next thing, there was one unholy explosion. And that was at Well Lane. And it was a landmine. And it took out, I think it was four houses. Just, it dropped. The police station was sort of at the top of Well Lane. At the bottom of Well Lane, rather. And this landmine dropped on the right-hand side of the road on a block of houses. I think it took about four houses out, but it killed everybody that was in them houses. And the swishing noise was the parachute. That was the swishing noise that I could hear. But we were very, very lucky that night, because it must have gone right over the top of our house, and it couldn't have been very high, because Well Lane is only, what, 500-600 yards further down the road from where we were. And then...
Was there much damage done to your dad's police station? Well, not your dad, but
windows, but no actual structural damage. There was one in house in Southdale Road, which is just at the top of Eldon Road. There's a road called Southdale Road, and my mate's mother and sister were killed. The bomb hit their house. So there was like Southdale Road, Well Lane.
And was that a landmine as well on Southdale?
No, that was just a high explosive bomb.
I mean, didn't sound like there were many bombs. It sounds like they did a lot of damage in there, but were there a lot of bombs landing on Rock Ferry, or was it just a couple of big ones?
I can only talk of, say, our immediate area, because I wouldn't know what was dropped, you know, fared along, because I didn't go down that way. The only way I went down was up to get the bus to go to work, which I didn't see any in Morton. There was enough around the area that with incendiary bombs and explosions putting windows in and on Grove Road. I don't know whether there was one dropped in Grove Road or not. I think there was. Because I know trying to get a bus for work, we couldn't get one.
That's Grove Road, Bevington.
Grove Road in Rock Ferry.
Oh, different one, right.
Yeah. Because Eldon Road's off Grove Road. There was Eldon Road, Mulberry Road and Rockville Street. They were the three roads off Grove Road. But it wasn't very nice. But the worst part of it, I thought, was not the actual sitting in the shelter listening to it, was when you went out the next morning and saw the devastation that was all around you. You know, people's houses that were there and then just gone overnight. And I don't know, as a kid, you wouldn't know anyway what they'd done or where they were taken or what help they were given or what shelter they were given, anything like that. I mean, as children, I think it's something that you don't worry about. Well, it's not that you don't worry about it, because you don't know anything about it. And apart from that, that was about all. I know that particular night, the heavy Wednesday, was I'd spent quite a bit of money on some chocolate. And they were all asking me in the shelter to give them some. And I said, you're not getting any. I spent my coupons on this. But as the night went on and the bombing went worse, I don't know whether it just turned my stomach, but then they got some chocolate then, because I don't know whether it's because I was scared or what.
Now, in London, they used to play on bomb sites, the kids, you know. Did you do any of that?
Oh, yeah, we used to go out after and collect shrapnel. Go what? Out, look. Look
now, people, why?
You know, well, I don't know, you just, but well, look, this is off a German bomb, you know, you'd never ever, it was just a hobby, and you'd go to school, or if you were in school when the raids were going on, they'd go in school, swapping bits of shrapnel, and funny enough, you could see the lines on the shrapnel where obviously the bomb had been turned on a lathe. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you could see the lines and, well, incendiary bombs, ones that never went off. We used to collect the detonators out of them. And hit them with hammer. Go bang, you know. And my dad played L. But we used to do that. We used to play on bomb sites.
So what would you play on a bomb site? I mean,
I don't know, you were just looking for stuff. And when they'd say play, you'd probably be looking for shrapnel or anything that was around, you know. Obviously not people's personal possessions, because there wouldn't be any there for them to have anyway. But you'd just go and have a look round. I wouldn't say, I can't really think what you'd play on a bomb site. You know, it's just a heap of bricks at the end of the day. That's all it was. And where it was just curiosity, I suppose, a lot of that was that.
Now, what sort of recreation did you have? You were growing up by now, you know, as you're getting towards. Did you have any sort of things you did? I mean, did you go to cinema or pubs?
Oh, yeah.
People did drink underage. So you may not have done.
No,
what you did you?
I never had a drink till after I went in the service. But, yeah, we used to go to the cinema a lot.
Now tell me about the cinema. I mean, and what was it a sort of rich? Because people went a lot then compared to now, don't you?
Yeah, well, it wasn't. If as kids, we used to go to the Coliseum, and it was, if you queued up in the entry and went in the side door, it was a penny. If you were well off and had tuppence, you could go in the front. You didn't have to queue up, you see, to go in the front. And they used to have cereals on. I can always remember one called the Clutching Hand, it was called, this cereal. It's somewhat like soap operas now, but this was a cereal. There was one called the Clutching Hands. The other one was called, I think, the Mystery Riders. It's funny how all this comes flooding back. And I can't remember the names of them anymore. But no, the Mystery Riders one, we used to come along out of the cinema, and we'd be running along, patting our backsides as if we were on a horse, you know, and go along the road. And if you'd pass the greengrocers that had all the wear on the pavement, apples and that, and you'd take an apple as you went past. And but the cinema was good. We only went, the Coliseum was the local one, and I went more there as a child than anywhere.
What about as you're getting older?
Well, as I got older, we ventured a bit further. We used to go to Birkenhead, to the Ritz and the Savoy, the Empire. What was the name of the others? The Avenue. There was lots of them. Then in Rock Ferry.
And what were your favourite sort of films? You know, when you're nearly 18, so you know, just before you went in.
I liked the musicals then. I thought they made some great musicals then when around about 16 and 17. Obviously, there was no war films because they weren't made then, but it was mainly westerns and musicals, and I think that was about it. But then if you went of a night, you had to have somebody to take you in, because I know we used to stand outside. And can you take me in, please, mister? Or can you take me in, please, missus? You used to ask them. And I mean, when you think about it now, it's horrendous, isn't it? But that's what we used to do. And then there was a cafe in Bedford Road. I used to go, just past the station. I used to go up on the corner of, I forget the name of the road, but you used to go upstairs. And as lads, around about 17, we used to go up there of a night and have beans on toast and, you know, stuff like that.
Did you go to dance halls at all? Was dancing part of
your
thing?
No, I never ever went dancing. I don't know why. But I never ever went dancing.
Were you a member of any boys' clubs?
No. Nope.
Either Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, or anything?
Oh, they had Boy Scouts and that, but I never joined any. I don't know whether I joined the Cubs once. I can't remember. I think I did once. I went in the Cubs.
Now, was there any sort of war service aspect? Because I know you're working, but a lot of people were called up, you know, there's Home Guard or Army Cadets, Navy Cadets, something like that. Were you in anything like that?
No.
ARP runner?
No, my mates joined the Air Training Corps, the ATC, and they were in the 1175 Squadron, which was based at Rock Ferry High School in Highfield Road. But I never joined. At the age of 17, I was badgering my father to join the Royal Navy.
Now, why were you interested in joining the Royal Navy?
It was just something that I wanted to do. I don't know why the Navy, I couldn't tell you. I just wanted to join the Royal Navy, and he wouldn't let me.
There's nothing in your family about it?
No.
It was just something you picked up?
Just something that I wanted to do. And
what,
I couldn't.
Now, why wouldn't he let you?
Because he thought I was too young. He said, there'll be time enough for you to go. And I wanted to go, but he wouldn't let me. You see, I think what he was worried about more than anything, if I'd have joined the Royal Navy then, I would have gone in as a boy, because you were a boy till you were 18 in the Royal Navy. So whether it was that aspect of it that he didn't like, I don't know. But I badgered the life out of him. Till in the end, when I reached May, when I reached 17 and a half, I think it was.
So around about April, May.
May. It was May 1944. I badgered him that much. I said, look, can I go? He said, all right, you can go, but you don't go in the Navy. You go, you know. I said, all right, I'll join the Army.
So you volunteered?
I volunteered, yeah. It's 17 and, well, it'd be 17 and a half, wouldn't I?
And that would be May, would it?
May, yeah. I've got the dates and everything there in there. Still got my attestation form there.
Now, was it to join, what was it to join? Join the Army generally or join your local battalion or what was it?
Well, I went down, the recruiting office was in the Haymarket in Birkenhead, a little shop. And I went in there and I said, I want to join the Army. And I said, I don't know where this come from. I want to join the Coldstream Guards. I don't know where that come from. And the chap in the recruiting office said to me, you can't, which I couldn't make this out at all. He said, you can't go in the Coldstream Guards unless you sign on to be a regular. And I thought, there's something wrong here. During the war, sign on to be a regular. So I couldn't go there, he said. So I said, the Cheshire Regiment. And he said, we're not taking any for the Cheshire's volunteers. I don't know what made me think of this again. I'm going up New Chester Road now, aren't I, in my head, thinking the Cheshire Regiment, Wrexham. Oh, Royal Welsh Fusiliers. So they put me down to join the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. And when I was called up.
So you volunteered early and anything, any tests or anything medical or anything?
Yeah, I went over to Renshaw Hall in Liverpool for a medical.
What was it like? Was it a strict medical or was it just a nod?
I don't think it was that strict because there was loads of people there. And I mean, they were going through them pretty quick. And at one point, there was a line of us where you all just dropped your trousers. And he came along asking you to cough. And he went through about 20 in about as many seconds. And that was it. And you took the king's shilling, you swore your oath, and you took the king's shilling, and that was that.
Now, we've just looked at your attestation paper, which you've actually still got. And that was for the 24th of May, 1944.
Yeah.
Which is just when you thought it was, really, you know. Now, did you have to wait before... I mean, you'd attest... That was your attestation. But did you have to wait before you were called up, or did you go straight away?
In May.